Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Northern Focus, Q100's community affairs and events program we host each and every Friday. Through our partnership with Kirtland Community College, do something today for your future that you can be proud of and visit Michigan's greatest educational website at kirtland.edu. Generally speaking, we open the show with somebody from Kirtland, and today it's our old buddy Dave Lepper from the Kirtland Foundation, the hardest working man. I don't know who works harder, you or Dr. Quinn, but you guys are
it's Dr. Quinn.
Is it? Yeah. Well, he is your boss, so you might as well throw some kudos his way. So, Dave, we were talking last week about, as usual, scholarships. And you were telling me that you had awarded a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. This isn't the young lady who won our scholarship.
No.
No. Okay. I thought we were going to see her today.
No, another time.
Anyways, introduce our guest.
Emma Mertes, she's from Grayling, and she's a nursing student, and she just received one of our most prestigious scholarships. Plus, she got two scholarships. She got another one from the Grayling Chamber.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So,
did you just graduate?
I graduated from high school last year.
Last year. Okay. Yes. So that must have been interesting.
Yeah, it was.
Not so
it was
good.
Something, yeah.
But. So you had your first year at Kirtland this past year.
Correct.
And had you decided already to go into the nursing department?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much been my idea since, like, sophomore year of
cool.
high school. Yeah.
No, that's good to have. I didn't know what I wanted to do for a living until, like, 6 months ago. So some people mature faster than others. So two scholarships, that's going to be very helpful.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I could use it.
Yeah. What classes did you take? You're taking, like, pre-med stuff, chemistry, those things?
Yeah, just the prerequisites for the nursing program. So I took two anatomy and physiology classes. I took an English class.
Why? I don't know. We do have prerequisites in college. So, yeah,
med term.
That had to be interesting.
Yeah, it was fun. I actually really enjoyed it, learning the different parts of the words that
you'll
see a word and you'll be like, oh, I know what that means.
And all their Latin roots, right?
Yes.
Dave's very familiar with the medical terminology. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So are you living at home? And
I live right next door to my dad is who I was living with, but we moved my grandparents in next door. So I live with them to help them out with stuff.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's nice. And back to school, in-person learning and everything else, it's going to be very exciting.
Yes, it is going to be extremely. I'm glad to go back.
I'll bet.
And be able to talk and interact.
Interact with folks. Go ahead, Dave.
Emma, if you could, tell them a little bit about why you went into nursing. You have a great story.
Yeah, so it started when, I don't know, I was like probably 8 years old, something like that. My sister was like 4.
Okay.
And long story short, I accidentally snipped part of her thumb off with pruning shears.
Okay.
Just enough where she had to go get stitches.
Okay.
And so, of course, I freaked out.
Right. Blood everywhere.
Yeah. Yep. Fast forward to a couple years later, me, my brother, and my sister are running through my backyard. My brother's probably, I don't know, I'm probably going to be so wrong on this, but probably like 5.
Okay.
Steps on a broken piece of an animal bone.
Cuts
the bottom of his foot open.
Yeah.
So I have carried both of them bleeding badly to my parents.
Right.
And that feeling of like, are they going to be okay? Like seeing them go off to the hospital was terrifying.
Right.
And then just this.
And they came home and they were better and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well. I still hear jokes about my sister every day.
Oh, I know. Every brother and sister combo.
Yeah. And then just this past fall, my best friend Isabel, she got into an accident with her horse and ended up passing away.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's a sad story, a very sad community story here. Yeah.
So I really want to go through this for her.
That's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring somebody back to life. And that's wonderful.
Thank
you. That's a great tribute to her.
Thank you.
So.
And your dad's an alum also, right?
Yeah, he is. He graduated when I was a sophomore in high school, I believe.
And your dad went back to school. That's cool. Yeah, great. Yeah.
Nursing, right?
Yeah, he was a nurse. And then my grandma, when she had my dad, she ended up going back to Kirtland and is also a nurse.
Wow. I mean, that's what Cheryl's mom did. You know, after the kids were grown, she needed a career and became a nurse herself. So, you know, that's not uncommon. And that's the beauty of Kirtland Community College, Dave. You have as many young adults getting their education as you do more mature folks.
You know, and we have scholarships for almost every program.
Right.
In fact, one I wanted to announce real quick, if you're interested in going into machining, CNC,
right.
I have 5 $1,000 scholarships available right now.
Wow.
So you need to go to our website, you know, the kirtland.edu/foundings.
CNC is where it's at. I mean,
there's jobs.
Well, there's very high-paying jobs. You're talking about $60,000, $70,000. Within 12 months of being on the job, it's a wonderful career, and five different $1,000 scholarships available right now.
Yeah.
Go to kirtland.edu/foundation. So,
and we'll be putting out more information. But if you're thinking about going this fall, you need to apply now.
Right.
And, you know, there's great opportunities there.
Registration is open regardless of what, once you get in there and start putting in your area of interest, it will tell you what possible dollars are available.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the nice thing about it, too, is if you have any questions, give us a call because we don't want money to be an obstacle for you to go to school.
And most times at Kirtland Community College, it isn't.
Right.
Yeah. Dave Lepper, Emma...
Murtis,
yeah. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus. Brought to us by Kirtland Community College, and the goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord. And Iron Pig delivered us a delicious breakfast. I ate it in the car. We'll be back after these. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne in studio with Justin Glusening, the superintendent of the Crawford-Asabo School District. And Justin got out of the school year.
In good standing.
It wasn't tumultuous. You know, it wasn't quite as nerve-wracking and upsetting as last year was, but you still had a lot of things to navigate and came out on the other side pretty well.
Yeah, you can't get to an end of a school year without taking those moments to just look back on where you started and where you finished. And I can remember meeting with staff, the very first meeting I had with the entire staff as we began the year, and I had a slide on my presentation saying that the year is going to end differently than it begins, and that did happen. Maybe not as, I don't want to say loose or as normal as we would have liked at the end of the year, because again, when we look back to the prior year, we lost so much for our seniors and just so much there. I was adamantly convinced that we were going to see an end of the year that was different than the year prior. We did have that, maybe not everything, but certainly a lot better than the year before. And then just looking back on the full year, very proud of our staff and all they did to keep us face-to-face and have kids in the building.
You know, a real graduation and a real end of the year, there's nothing we can do about going back to, you know, the kids from 2019/20. But these seniors were gifted in a much better, normal way.
And, absolutely. They, especially, you know, in northern Michigan and in the more, you know, northern and upper Michigan areas, we know downstate, there were still a lot of districts that didn't even come back face-to-face until springtime, March, maybe not at all the entire year.
No,
Kalamazoo,
right.
There were some districts that never even returned to the buildings. And I can't imagine... you know, the challenge that presented for families, the staff, everything, and then what next year might look like for them. I feel tremendous about what we accomplished this year in spite of, you know, the rules we had to work within. And I feel like we are well positioned for our start next year.
And, you know, for that dexterity and that ability to work through all those, You were got a very nice award. The school district won an award for the chamber.
The chamber awards just occurred, and the district staff as a whole was awarded with the You Made It Happen Award. Again, a tremendous honor for our entire staff for you know, all they did. But you know, as I shared the night of the awards recognitions at Hanson Hills, that you know, our success as a district was because of the contributions of our families,
right,
our community, of course, our staff. And so, you know, schools, again, being that common denominator of a community, it took everybody. It took our families to be supportive of our mitigation protocols, of doing their own screening of their kids, to not just send that, you know, child to school when they're not feeling well and they'll just get over it by noon, being a little bit more precautious there. And that really did make the difference, I think, when you look back. And so that award to our staff really is something that we share with our community and our families.
Yeah. I agree. You know, we talked, we have a new definition of heroes, right? And we had all the healthcare workers on the front lines battling this. But, you know, I put teachers in that same group. You know, I know a lot of them had some doubts. You lost a little bit of staff because of it, which is understandable. But those that stayed and, you know, fought through it, I think they know that they made better students.
Yeah. Actually, I would mention that we didn't lose a single staff member who wasn't planning to retire the prior year.
Oh, that's fantastic.
As we entered this school year, 100% of the staff that was planning to return did return, whether it was a bus driver, a sports staff member, a teacher, admin, secretaries. Really, everybody came back, showed up. You know, followed the protocols. You know, one of the other things I stressed to staff at the beginning of the year was, we can do this. You know, we can, you know, we can emphasize washing our hands and being socially distanced. We implemented some technologies that even while we're in person allowed us to kind of keep our distance from one another and work with our one-to-one devices, even in a classroom setting. And so just, you know, those little things went a long way to keeping us open in person and really had a great year.
What about food service?
Sure. Food service, you know, one of the first things we adjusted this year was for breakfast. Certainly we'd love to provide a hot breakfast when we're able. This year we pivoted to grab-and-go meals in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And also worked with our teaching staff to make sure our classrooms were open early enough. Not for instruction, but literally just so we could group the students, have them have breakfast in the classrooms. That was just, again, from the very start of the day, something that I think made the difference in terms of making sure we weren't interacting too much and having, you know, those transmissals of the disease or other viruses, frankly, the entire year. So even our just illnesses fell off tremendously.
Right.
Among our students. And we also have food service continuing. We have some summer meal pickups. Information is on our social media pages for families who are interested.
Yeah, I know how important that is. A lot of families really count on that program during the summer.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was at the elementary yesterday, watched the family stop by and pick some meals up for pre-breakfast and lunch. So those programs are ongoing throughout the summer. And again, if you're interested, check with your buildings or our social media pages.
Yeah. So the outlook for the 2021-2022 school year, what is that shaping up like right now?
Lots of questions, and I should mention our ELI staff, as we talked before we got on the air, is ongoing. Obviously, this is pre-recorded. We're here on a Thursday. Our ELI program ends tomorrow. They'll be back in session early August. My compliments to that staff. They let us into the district, into the school year, I should say, for the district last year. They'll do the same in the upcoming year. We are, as we speak, waiting on some additional guidance for the forthcoming year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can all safely say, at least, that in light of where we're at with things loosening up tremendously, even in the last week to 2 weeks, that we're headed in the right direction to certainly have a more normal start I've advised my administrative team and those building leaders to be planning for a more normal start. So the open houses that we had to adjust or cancel or do virtually, we absolutely are planning for those to be in person.
In person, right.
So those early start to the year events that we lost or modified significantly this past year, we're going to see those, I think, come back in a much more normal way.
Yes, some of this is really dependent on the fact that, you know, we still don't have a lot of clarity, even nationally, about kids and inoculations, right? You've got different age ranges in different states being allowed to be inoculated. Do you see maybe testing happening before the school year starts, maybe? I mean, or...
You know, I'm not sure. I know that, you know, just to kind of share with the listeners about the sports testing that we went through this spring and such. So most schools under that requirement decided to do their weekly testing requirements Monday morning as students arrived at school. And again, this was for a certain age group that was mostly high school and a few middle school age students, eighth graders, just because of their age. And almost 100% of the time when there was a antigen test that came back positive as a result of those screenings, that individual later was confirmed positive through a PCR test.
Right.
In terms of number, I think it's fewer than I can count on two hands over the entire course of the spring. And so you have to, you know, when the test did come back positive, was it effective in preventing that student from going into the classrooms and into the building? Yes, because then we sent them home, didn't have to do contact tracing because it was Monday morning.
Right.
But in terms of number, the total percent, when you look at that, it's single digits,
right.
Low single digits in terms of that number. So what, you know, I guess we all have to rationalize, was that a benefit or not? I don't know if
that's... Well, I think people need to know. Yeah. It was good to the school let people know that you have a positive test. Now, the what's happened to children when they test positive, most cases is very mild, and they're home for a few days and they get their negative test back to school. You know, I'm just wondering, there's so much stuff floating around, like whether we're going to have to flash our inoculation cards to get places. The passport is what they're calling
right? Yeah, right.
or are they just like going to start school with baseline tests and then, I don't know.
And I don't have any.
You won't know that till.
Correct. We might have some guidance on that, like I say, any day now, but I don't know that anything definitive has been determined, certainly nothing that I've heard at the time of this recording. But again, you have to ask, you know, and weigh as we talked off the air, when this whole thing started, we didn't know a lot about how things would play out in a school setting. We know a lot more.
Right.
And I know that superintendents, all of the different associations that represent principals, teachers, all those groups are trying to advocate for some common sense now, given the look back of what we know.
Right.
And so we're hoping that guidance is framed out in a way that is consistent with what we have learned over this year.
Yeah. And again, as you mentioned, we have a much different situation in northern Michigan than we have in metropolitan Detroit and the other big metropolitan areas. So.
Absolutely. And I can say, you know, I all year when I have my morning coffee, I pull up the data from the day prior. I review it, and I can tell you over these last few weeks, I don't recall, since the data was being tracked, seeing so few, even zero cases in our district, certainly in our region.
Right.
They've really just fallen off the cliff in total. I know even when you look at the hospitalizations currently in the Munson system, low 1-2-0-0-0, in numerous locations. So all good news, all things heading, I think, in the right direction. And again, my fingers are still crossed, but I believe strongly we're going to have a more normal start.
Yeah. So when is the start, and is enrollment open now?
Absolutely. We're open for business all summer long, so don't think for a minute that we don't have our doors open and can't help. Certainly the central office area through the high school office area is where families, once we get into July, might have a better opportunity to reach people. So don't hesitate to give us a call. Our first day of school for our ELI program I mentioned, our extended learning year, which is for our elementary building, begins on August the 10th.
Uh-huh.
And actually our traditional year next year will start on Tuesday, August 31st. The Tuesday prior to Labor Day, we'll have a short 3-day week and then a nice long 4-day weekend for the Labor Day holiday.
Good. And to find out more information about enrollment, either in elementary, middle school, or high school, is the website is CASDK12.net,
www.CASDK12.net.
That's right. Justin Glusening, superintendent from the CASD Crawford Osabo School District, thanks for joining us on Northern Focus.
Great to be here. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. And the goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord and Iron Pig delivering us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne in studio with Craig Friend, who's from the band Yankee Station, and they're performing at Trestle Park, what, in 2 weeks, right?
I think it's 1 week.
Is it?
A week from...
I've got the calendar out.
Tomorrow, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, something like that. No, the 1st of July.
Yeah, you guys are always on Thursdays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We're Thursday people.
Yeah, it's the first Thursday of the month, right?
Right.
Yeah. Let me see. Let's get this right because we have you on the phone. That is next Thursday, July 1st.
July 1st.
Kicking off the raucous 4th of July weekend.
Oh, boy. It's going to be fun. We've got, we actually have four dates over the 4th of July.
Oh, do you?
So, well,
it's good to be back doing live stuff.
It's good to be back. Yeah. Man.
You guys have been together a while.
Long time, yeah. Since 1993.
Yeah, that is a working band. You guys play all over Northern Michigan.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have for a long time, but mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. It's coming back to haunt us, I guess, if you could say that. We're busier now than we were 20 years ago.
Well, I think you'll be busier now than you ever have been this year. I think
absolutely.
Everybody wants to, you know, have live music again. And, you know, Trestle Park is a great start. That's a free concert down mm-hmm. there in Prudenville.
Right.
Great location and great, you know, great history with the Trestle Park concerts.
Yeah. As far as I know, and I don't know that much about it, unfortunately, but from what I understand, that they do have a pretty good tradition.
No, they've been doing that for as long as we've been on the radio, so that's 8 years.
Right.
But you guys have never done the concert in the park before?
We have not done the Trestle Park concert. And,
that's funny.
This opportunity came up. I guess they had a cancellation or something. So
okay.
Fortunately, we were available, and we're able to fill that slot. So I'm really looking forward to this because it would be nice to have a relationship with
absolutely.
That.
Craig, tell our listeners what kind of band Yankee Station is.
I guess classic rock is probably the best definition. We tend to focus on Southern rock.
Okay,
Allman
cool.
Brothers, you know, that
Leonard
kind of
Skinner.
Stuff. Right,
jam.
Right. We like that kind of music. But
Marshall Tucker, do you can't you see?
We do it. but we like 24 hours at a time. That's the one that we do by Marshall Tucker. Anyways, that's kind of our primary focus. But we venture into all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
We even do a song by Alicia Keys. You know,
wow.
We try to cover all the bases. And I guess our primary focus is to get people on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Having fun.
Yeah, that's...
Because we're having fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
That's the starting place, right?
It is.
Yeah,
it,
if
actually,
you can connect to the audience, then...
Well, when we started this band, unfortunately, the guy that I started the band with years ago, unfortunately, passed away. But when we started the band, we made a pact. And we said, well, the day this stops being fun...
Is the day we
quit.
Yeah.
Well, what is it, 28 years later, we're still having fun, I guess.
No, you know, it's funny. I know a ton of musicians in northern Michigan, and a lot, you know, not many of them are spring chickens anymore.
No.
But that's still, whether they, you know, only gigging every once in a great while,
mm-hmm.
it's still their love. Music is a passion, just like our radio station is a passion.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. I mean, music, it is most definitely a universal language.
Yeah.
You know, it speaks to everybody.
You can hammer out a weekday job, you know, right. looking forward to Friday or Saturday night's gig.
That's pretty much it. And that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, everybody in the band has a full-time job.
Yeah.
And
unfortunately,
well, except me, I'm kind of retired.
You know, unfortunately, bands can't really do that anymore after, you know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving and anything else. It's hard to make a buck.
Yeah.
Playing bars.
That scene changed.
Yeah.
But what's happening now, I think, is great because I'm finding that a lot of places that we play now, we start earlier in the evening.
Right.
So we're starting at maybe 8 o'clock mm-hmm. and playing until maybe midnight, 11 o'clock, something like that.
Right.
And that's before everybody has a chance to really get super inebriated and still have fun. And,
yeah.
You know, they bring the families out and stuff. And I think it's actually working a lot better than what it did back in the day when we started at 9:30 and played till
1
or whatever,
yeah, right.
which was grueling.
It was a young man's game.
Oh, man, I tell you. Yeah, I can't do that stuff anymore. It's hard to
do. So you mentioned do you know what time you're starting at Trestle Park?
Ooh, you know what? I'd have to look myself.
It's on that calendar again. I think it's at 7 o'clock.
It probably something like that, I would assume. Yeah, 6, 7 o'clock mm-hmm. is about the optimum time, I would say.
And you said you're busy the rest of the weekend. What are your other gigs you've got 4th of July weekend?
Well, we're playing at Canada Creek Ranch over by Atlanta.
Okay.
And then we're playing...
That sounds like a private party.
No, actually, it's actually open to the public.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But it's mostly for the people that live out there at Canada Creek Ranch. It was really a neat place, really cool. And then we're playing in Boyne City on the 4th, I believe, for like a block party kind of a thing. And we're playing a private party in Indian River.
Awesome.
So we're covering some ground.
If somebody wants to book, I know private parties are getting way more popular to have live music at them now.
Yes.
So how do they get a hold of you if they want to have Yankee Station perform?
Well, one of the best ways, actually, is we have a Facebook page, so we're Yankee Station Band
okay.
on Facebook. We have a website that's yankeestationband.com, I think. So,
but Facebook,
way,
every Yankee Station
Facebook,
Band
yeah.
on Facebook to
yeah,
check
Yankee
them out,
Station
see
Band.
Where you guys are playing,
right.
and or maybe hook up and
right.
and have a real live party.
Real live party. It ain't a party till. You know, the guitar player starts playing. Well, I happen to be the guitar player, by the way.
Oh, okay. Actually, I didn't know how much singing you did. You got a great radio voice, but I'm not sure. Maybe the background part for the Temptations.
Well, I sing Temptations, actually.
Yeah.
And I always MC.
And that ain't right.
That ain't right. Yeah, I MC the weddings. When we play weddings, I have to be the MC.
No, you got a great voice.
Thank you. Well, I got a face for radio, they tell me. So.
Oh, let's not go there.
You know. You know how that is.
Yeah. All right. Craig Friend from Yankee Station.
Sure.
Performing next Thursday at Trestle Park. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and come on out and see us. It'll be fun, I guarantee
it. I know it will, and it don't cost nothing.
Don't cost nothing.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the green room come from Cops of Donuts, a Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig delivered us a delicious breakfast. Those two interviews were live. The next few segments were previously recorded. Well, welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. And my good friend Vicki Springstead is on the phone with me. She's with the Higgins Lake Foundation. Vicki, it's been a while. I'm glad to speak to you and hear your wonderful voice.
Sure has, Jerry. It's great to be back and hear your voice and communicating again with everybody in the community and seeing faces. Wow, it's fantastic that people are getting out and about and gathering.
Well, I know we didn't get a chance to do much of this last year, but there had to be a ton of boating on Higgins Lake, and we want to talk about keeping Higgins Lake clean, and safe.
Both very important. Of course, you know, safety being number one. We have a wonderful Marine Patrol out there, spending as many hours as possible, which the last year or so seems to emphasize the need, because we have had a lot of traffic, you know, some displaced Lakers that have come up, and people working from home, and what better place to work from than a Higgins Lake home. So it's always a wonderful summer, but yep, safety first, and the foundation is accenting health first, the health of the lake and what each resident and visitor can do to help Higgins be as healthy as possible.
And that begins with the boat washes.
Yes, we're so lucky on Higgins this year. For the first full season, there is a boat wash tool at the entrance of every public ramp, DNR ramping areas, and exits. So there is a free boat wash opportunity on the north side at the site that's just around the corner from the North State Park. And that's a power wash. There's also a new cleaning tool inside of the North State Park and the South State Park, one called a CD3, which is a fairly new invention. It actually operates by air pressure,
right,
and dries any water and so forth. And there's still the boat wash right in the ramp area of the South State Park. So it's easy to find a place to clean your boat before and after. We ask people to clean their boat, drain the bilge, dry their boat, and dispose of any weeds and so forth going in and out.
Yeah, we know how many different invasive species are in a lot of our different lakes. I mean, just even going from like Higgins to Houghton. So it's really important, and it doesn't take very much time, and it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely, Jerry. There's in the Great Lakes, there are 180 known aquatic invasive species. And, you know, people think, well, we already have aquatic invasives in Higgins. We do have a couple. We have Eurasian water milfoil and starry stonewort, but we don't want to get any more.
Right.
Because once you have them, it's really pricey to control and remove them. And the foundation does run the diver assistant suction harvester boat. We call it the Dash boat. The crew is actually already out working this year, and they hand pull Eurasian water milfoil, and it's quite a process, but we are fortunate that it's under control in Higgins Lake, but it's an ongoing process. We've had great success in removing it completely from some areas without regrowth, and weakening it in many areas. So we stay at it with that operation, but we don't want any more aquatic invasive species. So boat washing, you're right, is the key to prevent them.
Yep. And, you know, we know how beautiful Higgins Lake is. It's one of these special, spectacular lakes that we are gifted with here in northern Michigan. So it takes a lot of time and effort and money to keep the lake beautiful, and so we do have some fundraising initiatives that Vicki would like to talk about with the Higgins Lake Foundation.
Thanks, Jerry, for mentioning that, because it is our most important fundraiser is our annual Higgins Lake Awareness Day. This will be the 33rd year. It's held at the R.A. McMullen Center. It's a great time. It's outdoors with picnic tables, and we also have a silent auction and a live auction. We give away $10,000 in cash prizes, and the raffle tickets are $100 each. And the raffle ticket admits two people, and it includes a great time with friends and neighbors, food, open bar, and the chance to win part of that $10,000 cash prize money. So I hope people will make it. It's from 4 to 6 p.m. in the afternoon at the R.A. McMullen Center. Hope to see you there too, Jerry. Can you make it? Maybe you want to.
I'm planning on making
live it live or something.
Yeah, it's It's been too long since we and I, you and I were at a party together. That's the main thing.
Yeah, that's right. We're overdue, so hope you can be there.
Vicki, what is the date of that again, and where do people get tickets?
Okay, great question. It's August the 7th, first Saturday of August, 4 to 6 at the McMullen Center. We do sell tickets at the door, but to save yourself some time, you might want to buy one from either our website, which is www.higginslake-foundation.org, or you can just plug in Higgins Lake Foundation and we'll pop up, and you can buy your tickets right directly through the website, or call our office, 275-9183, area 989, or see one of your friendly board members like myself around town. And we have them with us now because everybody's got their tickets. So those are the main sources. And we can mail them to you when you go through the office, or we can just mark it down and hold a ticket for you at the door.
Yeah, we call that
I think I said...
We call that will call.
I'm sorry. Will call. That's right. We call it not at the door.
Yeah.
We call it will call. And a $100 ticket does admit two people.
Yeah, a great time for a great cause. So we highly urge you to be a part of Higgins Lake Foundation and their fundraiser coming up August 7th. We'll continue to mention that here on Northern Focus, Vicki, and I'm sure we'll have you back on again. So thank you for all your efforts in keeping Higgins Lake beautiful.
Thank you so much, Jerry, for helping spread the word. You do a great job, and we all enjoy your rock and roll. Here to stay. Rock on.
Rock on, baby. All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig delivered us a delicious breakfast.
Welcome back to Northern Focus, Q100. Welcome back to Northern Focus, Q100's Community Affairs and Events program we host each and every Friday through our partnership with Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne in studio with Nick Bujalis, who is the owner of the legendary Boone's Lake Inn. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. It's Boone's Long Lake Inn.
Excuse me. Sorry. The legendary owner of Boone's Long Lake Inn. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks for joining us in studio this morning. And a friend of mine was telling me the backstory about you and how the whole Long Lake Inn experience has come to about. And I'm like, that's a great story. We got to tell that. So tell our listeners a little bit about how you became the owner of Boone's Long Lake Inn.
Well, sure. I started working at Boone's in 1985 when I was 23 years old. It was supposed to be a stepping stone to put myself through school.
Right.
Thought I'd go back to college at that time. And the previous owner, Barry Boone, had a change in management taking place and had asked me what I was going to school for. It was the first semester. And I said, to make money. And he said, well, let's come on in and talk the next morning. And so we did. We met. And he had offered me and another individual, Kip Saley, dual positions of management. That was really going to be what I would have walked out with, you know, as a position with a degree.
Right.
So I started, working with Barry closely, back then in 85, that fall. He was kind enough to let me buy in as a partner in 93,
mm-hmm.
and then was able to buy him out completely in 97. And so that's kind of the run. We've try to operate it. As they say, when it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
We want to carry a lot of that, legendary style as far as portions. Definitely try to improve quality.
Right.
Got some other food background. Historically, this is the first non-family business I'd ever worked for. So it was different, but he was a great mentor in showing, how important it was to be operational and not just administrative. Definitely a hands-on operator.
I know. I've been trying to get you on the show, and you're like, I'm fixing refrigerators. I'll call you later.
Yeah, very much. And, that's how our whole crew works, all of our managers and all of our staff. We don't have any, clipboard managers, if you will. They're
right.
All operational, and we all help, each department. It's used so commonly, the word family, and workplace as far as we're a family. This operation very much is. I'm not the only one with 30 plus years experience there and in working in any particular department. You know, we've got a number of 20 and 30 year employees that we're very proud to have.
Yeah. Well, when you say family, I don't know if you'd classify Boone's Long Lake Inn as a family restaurant, but you have so many clients that are like family that return over and over and over again that it is kind of like a family restaurant in that sense.
Very much. Yeah, very much. Like I said, it's we've got multiple generations.
Right.
Both, you know, like I said, both that are in our direct family as a unit that is working there, but also our guests. You know, it's been fun. With this many years, I'm seeing, you know, those that have had, you know, now we're seeing the grandkids, you know, that were
right.
Our original patrons have had children, and then their children have had children, and we've had the same show up with our staff. You know, we've got, you know, grandchildren now working for us when their parents have worked for us.
Now that's cool.
Yeah, it's a good family.
Yeah.
It truly is. But yeah,
you didn't drub their parents out of the business, and now they've got their kids coming in.
Well, I think they also felt it's a good place for them to work.
Right.
You know, they like the work ethics, and it does exist. You know, it does. They know that they're going to be shown, you know, how to do things properly. It's
right.
Not a place that they can't, you know, be trusted in.
And I know you've had some ups and downs there throughout your years.
Sure.
And now you and I were talking off air about the pandemic and what it's done to the restaurant industry. Where do you think, what is the vision, the future for Boone's Long Lake Inn specifically, and maybe the restaurant business in general?
Well, I think it's a challenge for all of us. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
When we're open, we do very well with what we have, as they say. But closures were difficult. We elected to not do...
The 25%, right?
Yeah. 25% we could work with and to go. You know, we were doing a lot of curbside during
right.
that time, Jerry. But when it was a full closure, to just do to go only, we're not really structured well.
No.
So, but at the same time, what we did do is try to employ as many of our staff members as we could. And we were working on, fortunately, we've been there for quite some time.
Right.
And so we have the means to do improvements. So we did some great, you know, remodeling, some repair and maintenance that just you can't do as easily when you're open. You're doing it in small stages.
Right.
When can you do your big, you know, we have two big walk-in coolers. When can you actually shut one down and completely go through, put new
or do a complete kitchen makeover,
and you're able to do that without it disturbing the operations. So we took advantage of that, and then new carpet and so on, and just things that you wouldn't necessarily try to do all at once. Took on a lot,
but
we got a lot done, and like I said, we kept all of our key people together. We have our core. We're very proud of that.
So that was helpful because restaffing restaurants has been probably the biggest challenge you've seen.
Yeah, it's going to be for everyone. We're close with a lot of other restaurateurs and knowing what they're all dealing with.
Right.
And we're at a good, really solid 50% as far as even just a little bit over that. But we shored up our kitchen quite early by, making sure, as I mentioned earlier, at least at off air, that livable wage for all your key people, anyone with any responsibility. And, that means a lot. They feel that they're appreciated and respected with that kind of showing. And we did that early for a number of reasons. One, we're all dealing with, a lot of challenges, but also, going into the season, we know it's going to get
more challenging.
Challenging out there.
So. A good challenge, right? Because as we were talking about, this is the hospitality business, and ultimately, the people that come through the doors at Boone's Long Lake Inn, you want to make sure they have the best experience possible.
And that is yes, and that's exactly
that's the
what
challenge.
We focus on, as well as making sure. It's, I mentioned earlier, I know I said, why were you going to school? Well, to make money, meaning a job that would be able to, so I could provide for myself.
Right.
My job, once we bought the restaurant in 97, when the big checks crossed the table, what weighed on me heaviest was I have a responsibility for all of these people
right.
mm-hmm. to make sure that they're able to pay their mortgages and pay their car payments and pay for their kids' tuition. And so all the things that they were, trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And I've always put that first, and it's always worked out. When we take care, we see that they have those opportunities, it just works. And it's the same with customer service. We don't worry about the black and white. We're not looking there all the time. If we take care of everyone, it does work that way.
Right.
It naturally takes care of itself.
So if you haven't been to Boone's Long Lake Inn, tell our listeners what makes it special.
Well, you know,
we mentioned the people,
Yeah, you know, I think if you want to say it's a large, you know, Cheers atmosphere, it's definitely some people will refer to it as, regionally, they would call it what they would call a supper club.
Right.
The nature of it is, if I said we open our doors very wide because of our menu, it's attractive for once a year celebrations, as well as those that just want to have a convenient meal that night.
Come in once a week.
Yeah. That are here, or more.
Thursday is our night to go to Boone's, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We have those that are no cook Fridays. And so they are there regularly.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to see, like I said, with this passing of, with COVID, the changes that have taken place, and now we are allowed to have as many guests in and have guests back at the bar.
Right.
To see that, like I said, using that term, that Cheers atmosphere. No televisions. We've chosen still. You never say never, but there's no televisions in the restaurant or the bar.
When the Lions go to the Super Bowl, you'll put televisions in.
There will be one in back, you know. And there's one in the kitchen on Super Bowl day. That's a slow day in the dining room.
Right.
And yes, there is one that they get.
That's unusual. You don't go into many places now that don't have a television in there.
No, it seems well received. Like I said, we have guests because they know they're going to either engage with us, which we truly enjoy, and it's genuine and sincere.
Right.
Or they're going to engage with each other as opposed to, that distraction of television.
That's cool. Yeah. So tell our listeners where Boone's is located and how they find him on social media.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for asking that, or let me put that plug in. We're 6 miles southwest of Traverse City,
right.
So certainly not a far drive, easy to find now. Years ago, we were definitely...
Yeah, it was in the boonies.
It was in the boonies, at the boondocks. But we're on 7208 Secor Road,
right.
Which is off of West Silver Lake Road. And if you would go to Boone's, LLI.com,
right.
www.boonesllli.com, that'll take you right to our website. There'll be everything, all the information you need as far as menu, directions, et cetera.
Well, a landmark, especially in the dining arena in Grand Traverse County. So thanks for joining us finally.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad I made it. I'm glad I found you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Nick. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord and Iron Pig Smoke, delivering us a great breakfast.
Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. And every month we have Tracy Cook, the executive director of the Grayling Chamber of Commerce, with us. Unfortunately, Tracy can't join us in person, but we do want to follow up with what we're heading into is the busiest month of the year for the Chamber and just about everybody in Grayling. Tracy, so let's talk a little bit about Riverfest.
Hey there, good morning. We're planning full steam ahead with restrictions being lifted. We're kind of jumping in and kind of all getting our feet wet and kind of getting everything prepared. So we're hoping to have everything as normal. Some things might look slightly different just because we, are working with trying to get sponsors and all those things that you normally have a lot more time to plan.
Right.
So, but we're working on that as much as possible and adding things to the schedule, not just our events, but the other events in the community, including the Canoe Marathon and Hanson Hills runs a 5K, 10K race. We've got all kinds of fun things going on throughout the week. And you can actually find that on our website, which is asableriverfest.com. And that also has a direct link right to the Canoe Marathon page as well.
And we always like to stress, you are looking for volunteers. Those are especially needed this year.
Yes, those are especially needed. And we're actually in the process of finalizing the volunteer online volunteer sign-up form. So we will have that on our website soon. And we will also put it on our graylingchamber.com website to link you directly to that. That'll have just information about times and kind of the duties and the basic idea of the event so people know what they're getting into beforehand.
Yeah, we look forward to supporting the Chamber with a number of the different events because it's a busy week and it's a fun week. So if you've got some spare time, give Tracy a call at the Chamber or wait a couple more days and the Chamber website will be up and you can drop in your volunteer hours. Also at this time, Tracy, you've got your Spotlight Member of the Month from the Chamber.
Yes, we do. And that is North Central Michigan Community Foundation. They provide a lot of funding and grants for different organizations throughout North Central Michigan. And actually, they expand past that. But this arm of that group actually covers this area. So Christine Hitch, who you're going to be speaking with, is their director over there. And we do have a local board here in the community as well, which you can find out more about that on our website at GreenlaneChamber.com. And their photo and a link to all their information is right there, as well as the interview that you will be posting on your page.
All right. Well, let's follow that up with the interview that I did with Christine just a few minutes ago. Thank you, Tracy. Here's Christine. Good morning, Christine. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you.
Tell our listeners a little bit about the North Central Michigan Community Foundation.
Sure. Well, this community foundation specifically serves the counties of Crawford, Ogama, and Oscoda in the North Central Michigan region. And we are a nonprofit organization that holds a collection of permanent endowed funds, and all of them are specifically to support a broad group of charitable interests within that three-county area.
How many staff and volunteers do you have?
Well, the Community Foundation, the North Central Michigan Community Foundation, is actually an affiliate foundation of the Community Foundation for Northeast Michigan. And as part of that structure, we have six full-time staff who work, and for myself, I'm a two-title person. I have the title of Marketing and Communications Director, but I'm also our Affiliate Director. So I work very closely with the North Central Michigan Community Foundation and their local board. This Affiliate Foundation is overseen by a group of individuals who are business and civic leaders who represent those three counties of Crawford, Ogama, and Oscoda. So I get to work very closely with them and the grants and the scholarships and all the decisions they make.
Yeah, you sent me a couple of notes here. Talk a little bit about the history of the NCMCF, as we all love our acronyms here in Northern Michigan.
Sure, we laugh about our alphabet soup in the Community Foundation field because there are so many acronyms. The way that the North Central Michigan Community Foundation got its start is that in 1997, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation offered a 2-to-1 match for every dollar that could be raised locally, and that money would be put into an endowed fund that was specifically to be overseen by youth. So what happened in 97 is that the Community Foundation for Northeast Michigan reached out to people in the Crawford, Ogama, and Oscoda County area, and local people right in those three counties, they worked really hard to raise the funds, and they partnered with the Community Foundation for Northeast Michigan to house those funds and then officially established the North Central Michigan Community Foundation. So in less than 18 months during that time, they raised more than $2 million to get that $1 million match from the Kellogg Foundation, and that established three permanently endowed funds at the Community Foundation, one for Crawford County, one for Ogama County, and one for Oscoda County. And so now all of those endowed funds are overseen by the Community Foundation and its board, but the grants themselves are actually awarded by our Youth Advisory Council, because that was one of the stipulations that particular fund be overseen by youth. So those were the first funds that started, but from there, over the years, we've since added over 135 different charitable funds, and they are everything that reflect the donor's interest and whatever it is that donor decided they wanted to start it for that was close to their heart, that's what they're for. And so these are everything from, you know, the arts, education, scholarships, environmental funds. I mean, anything close to your heart that's charitable in nature, we have a fund that supports that.
So you essentially manage the funds that have been established for these different grants and endowments. But you don't actually award them yourselves? I mean, do people come to you and apply for grants?
It really depends on the type of fund that you're talking about. So if it's a scholarship fund, the way that works is that students who are applying for scholarships, whether they're already in college or they're graduating seniors, whatever the particular funds are for, you know, students can go and apply for those scholarships, and those are awarded or determined by scholarship committees. for other funds, like our community endowment funds, which are really for the broad areas of interest, those are our community impact grants. And what happens with those is that nonprofits apply to them through a competitive grant process. And then local committees in each of those counties, they're the ones who review those applications and make recommendations to the board to approve. And then some of the funds that I mentioned, like if they're for an environmental purpose or some are even started for the benefit of a particular nonprofit, those operate in a little bit different way. So if you have a donor who has started a fund, say, for example, the Crawford County Historical Museum, we have a fund that benefits that.
Okay.
Every year, there's an amount that's generated for that, and the museum gets to use that money for whatever it is they need that year, you know, whether it's an outside facelift, a new exhibit, things like that.
So this is a great opportunity for you to appeal to people if they have monies that they'd like to donate to the North Central Michigan Community Foundation. You have an avenue for that.
We do. So like I said, there are already over 130 different funds that the Community Foundation has. Anybody can give a gift to any of those funds in any amount at any time if there's a fund there that's close to their heart. Now, at the same time, if there is an interest, perhaps a special cause that's close to somebody's heart and you're looking to support that cause forever locally, you can actually start a new fund.
Right.
And doing that, you know, you can benefit a particular nonprofit, any area of interest, whatever really it is that you care about, you can do that through the Community Foundation. And you can also do it in a variety of ways. I mean, obviously, the most common gift is a gift of cash, you know, people sending in a check for that or making a credit card gift to do that, even to establish a fund. But there's also a lot of other ways to give. You know, we can, some people choose to give through their will or through planned giving or an estate plan. Other people may choose to do things like name the Community Foundation as a beneficiary on a life insurance policy or transfer some of their IRA. If, you know, there's a required minimum distribution that perhaps you don't need that year, you can donate that to the Community Foundation. That's tax-free. So there are a lot of different ways to give, and so we can help donors and not only match them with the causes they care about, but we can also help them to give in the way that's beneficial to them and to their community.
Christine Hinch from the North Central Michigan Community Foundation. Let our listeners know how they can contact you to possibly make a donation or find out more information, and you have a website as well.
We do. So the website is full of information for donors and for grantees and for people looking for scholarships and just general information about the Community Foundation. That's obviously, you can just type in search North Central Michigan Community Foundation or go to ncmcf.org. And of course, we're also available by phone and email, and all of our contact information is available there.
Thank you so much, Christine, and congratulations on being the Spotlight Member of the Month for the Grayling Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you. We're very honored.
All right. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Joining me in studio is Dawn Budge from the West Branch Music in the Park. Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
Good morning, JC.
So you've got music coming back. That's got to be really exciting.
Yes, it really is. We were actually able to have four of our concerts last year until the COVID restrictions changed.
Right.
And then we had to cancel our last concert, which was the Todd Michael Band, and we have asked them back this year, and they're going to be our first concert on July 1st.
Awesome. So heading into the 4th of July weekend, tell our listeners who are not from West Branch where this takes place and what this is all about.
Okay. Music in the Park is a committee that gets concerts together for a music series. In the summer, we have our concerts at Irons Park, which is off Valley Street in West Branch, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And West Branch is a great town to be at. You can come and enjoy some of our stores. We have great restaurants, and then come to a concert.
Yeah,
Thursday nights from 7 to 9.
You do have great restaurants. It's traditionally, that is where Up North begins, right?
Correct.
West Branch with the award-winning water tower.
Yes. You can always have a smile in West Branch.
That's right. How long has the concert series been going on now?
This will be our 21st year.
Wow.
I've only been the chairperson for a couple of years, but yeah, we've been going on for quite a while.
And give us the rundown of shows. It takes place every other week?
No, it's 6 consecutive Thursdays this year.
Right, okay.
We were able to add a 6th concert. Normally we do 5.
Right.
And we start on July 1st. And go through August 5th.
Right. And you got a great lineup. Go over some of those. So every Thursday, starting in July, you can check out live bands in downtown West Branch.
July 1st, we have the Todd Michael Band,
right,
which is kind of a pop country band. They're quite popular. July 8th, that's a local band, a local rock band called All My Friends.
Uh-huh.
And July 15th, we have Teddy Petty and the Refugees. It's a Tom Petty tribute. July 22nd is the Rock Show, a real popular band. They do a Journey tribute.
Yeah, they're
and
great.
Rock music,
mm-hmm.
Very popular. July 29th is the Motor City Memories. They're kind of a group of, a lot of them are classically trained musicians, but they do a variety of, from the 50s to the 80s.
Right.
And last, on August 5th, we have the Motown Eagles tribute, which is an Eagles tribute, obviously. And they're a member of the Michigan Humanities Touring Guide. So
okay, cool.
We have them, yeah.
And what time are the performances each Thursday evening?
They're from 7 to 9.
Okay.
And they pretty much start right on time and go to 9. Some of the bands like to play a little longer sometimes.
What about inclement weather?
If the weather is extreme, we cancel.
Okay.
But if it's just mild rain, we go on.
Okay.
And in the past, we've had like a alternate venue. Since COVID, we have not been able to do that.
Okay.
Cancel.
And I'm sure you you tell people that they can bring chairs and blankets.
Right,
and
right.
What about coolers? And
yes, they're actually able to bring whatever they want, except for no glass containers.
Okay.
So we don't have any rules against anything particularly. We do have a designated smoking area. We don't like everybody to be
just
smoking.
Just outdoor smoking, yeah. And these shows are all free.
Yes, they are. We take donations. Music in the Park is funded by grants and donations from area businesses who are very kind to us.
I saw that you have a particular host of most of the shows already.
Yes.
That's nice.
Yeah, we have series sponsors that put in a certain amount of money that we recognize them every concert. Then we have concert sponsors that are another level that they get a certain concert with their name and everything, a banner.
Right.
And then we have a board that we put up, anybody else that donates a certain amount. But we take donations. We have little yellow buckets we carry around.
But it's not a 50-50 raffle.
It's no, it's not a 50-50 raffle. We don't do anything like that.
Yeah.
We just take donations, and people are very generous because a lot of these bands, when they go other places, they have to pay.
Yeah.
And they don't with us.
No, Rock Show gets a fair dollar.
Yes.
I know that. I'm not familiar with how the rest of the bands are, but I know what they get. And so this is, you know, first-rate entertainment for free.
Exactly.
So throw a couple spare bucks in the bucket, and so this can continue on for the 26th year.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sure you have a Facebook page.
We do. It's Music in the Park 2020 and Beyond.
Okay.
So that's... you can, my husband Jeff, he puts everything on there, so you can catch up on what the next concert's going to be, pictures from the last concert.
Good deal.
All the information.
Begin. So that all starts July 1st, and then every Thursday into the first week of August, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
yep.
There you go.
August
That's going to be great.
Our last one.
Dawn Budge from West Branch Music in the Park. Thanks for joining us on Northern Focus.
Thank you, JC.
All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig Smokehouse delivering us a delicious breakfast.